Good morning, Josh.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me. Now, firstly, can you explain what kind of behaviour has Coles been engaging in that's brought on this action and others in recent years?
So Coles has what are called enterprise agreements in place, and so do almost all the other major retail and fast food companies. And those enterprise agreements pay the vast majority of workers less than they would otherwise earn if there was no agreement at all. And so Coles has been getting away with, our best estimates is two-thirds of the workforce are losing over $70 to $80 million a year.
That's a huge chunk. Can you explain a little bit more how this all works and how it does happen?
Yeah, sure. So what happened at Coles was that in 2015, at the start of 2015, they reached an agreement with an organisation called the SDA, an old shoppies union. And that agreement paid casual workers a 20% loading rather than a 25% loading. It paid 17-year-old workers a 55% junior rate rather than a 60% junior rate. It paid 18-year-old workers a 67.5% junior rate rather than a 70% junior rate. And it abolished weeknight penalties after 6 p.m. on a weeknight. Usually workers under the award would get a 25% loading. They'd get nothing. On a Saturday, the 25% loading was also abolished. And the Sunday loading of 100%, which is now 95%, but that was cut in half to 50%. So they come up with an agreement that does all those things. And the argument goes, in return, they paid a loading above the award for normal hours of about 7, 8 or 9%. And they try to argue that that would offset any loss. What happens is they, with the SDA, the Shoppers Union, would trundle down to the Commission, the Fair Work Commission, and present some rosters to argue how these workers end up being better off. And what we now know is those rosters that they called sample and typical were anything but sample and typical. They didn't show anyone who only worked weekends. They didn't show anyone who worked most of their hours on a night or a weekend. So they basically used a ruse in the Fair Work Commission to have the Fair Work Commission then approve those agreements, and they replaced the award. So the laws state that if that happens, the award rights no longer apply. And we know this has happened at almost every major retailer and fast food outlet in Australia.
That's a stinky situation. And as you said, there's a lot of money every year which is being funneled away from employees. Now, can you tell us about what sort of changes are happening? Now, we've seen this this action case with Penny Vickers that's been now discontinued. Are you able to explain what progress has been with this this situation and where we're looking to in the next couple of months or years?
Yeah, sure. So the big decision was last year in May when Duncan Hart, a trolley collector in Brisbane, who I and the barrister represented, he won an appeal against the Coles agreement that had been made last year. And it exposed to the world what had been happening. At the end of the year, because nothing had been done, we launched the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union. And one of the first wins we had was in December, the Greens proposed legislation which would fix it for everyone. It would just mean that no matter what, you couldn't be paid less than the award. Unfortunately, the Liberal Party, the National Party and the Labor Party have refused to put that legislation through. And so that was the first tier, was about parliamentary or legislative change. The other pathway is just the hard work of workers terminating these agreements and getting back to the minimum wages under the award. And so, or negotiating new agreements which do the same. What happened with Coles was that Penny launched this case in July last year, so it's been almost 18 months, that she's had to fight big legal teams, barristers and law firms, with the SDA and with Coles, both against her, and she's been self-represented. And we also had a couple of other members pile in earlier this year to support her application. And so all of that's been going on, which led to Coles deciding to bargain for a new agreement and resolve a new agreement which would pay these penalty rates. And so Coles had agreed that next year, from April 30, it would pay penalty rates as it's required to, and all the other conditions as it's required to under the award. What the outcome this week means is that not only will they do that, but they'll also effectively provide a couple of months of extra payments in March and April next year that they weren't otherwise going to provide. The alternative is really what's happening everywhere else. Earlier this year, we terminated dodgy Baker's Delight agreements for members. Members also terminated an IGA agreement, which these great, huge amounts of money back to workers. Last week, you might have seen Domino's Pizza had all of their agreements terminated from January the 24th next year. And that will see something like $40 to $50 million returned to 21,000 workers that have been under very old SDA and Domino's agreements for a long time. It's the same process, and unfortunately, without legislative change, it's going to be a slow process everywhere else. So workers at Woolworths, workers at Liquorland, the Officeworks, Kmart, Target, McDonald's, KFC, Hungry Jack's, they all have to go through these same slow processes.
I mean, it's sort of positive news in a sense. These changes are coming through, albeit with Coles, sounds like 6 months away is a little bit longer than it needs to be. But it is nice to hear that some positive action is happening, albeit slowly. Now, Josh, what sort of advice do you have for any workers at the moment if they believe that they're being underpaid?
Well, there's two types of underpayment. There's the what's notionally legal underpayment. So what's been happening at places like McDonald's and others where an agreement is in force which pays workers less than they would otherwise earn, the process to fix that is really to participate and join in the union and to organise for a new agreement and, if need be, to terminate the old agreement. What we know from the Vickers case, Penny's case, is that she was up against huge legal teams, enormous resources, millions and millions of dollars spent on law firms and barristers by the companies and by the SDA to stop her. And it took 18 months to get here. So what we want to do is we want to have a much more organised and cohesive response to each of these agreements, trying to negotiate a new one, and where they refuse, taking whatever steps we need to encourage them to start paying penalty rates. Then there's illegal underpayment. So someone who's being paid cash in hand, or someone who's just not getting paid what they're entitled to. We've got members who have to reimburse their employer for drive-offs at service stations or low tills, or people that aren't being paid for all the hours they work, having to turn up half an hour early and leave half an hour late without being paid. Those sorts of things are just illegal underpayments. Now, if they're already a member of a union, they should certainly pursue that with their union. If they're not already a union member, then most unions won't be able to help them because it's an issue that existed prior to them joining. They should still inquire about it. They can pursue it with a law firm. They can pursue it with the Fair Work Ombudsman as well. But the short answer is get into and involved in a union before these issues arise.
Josh, wonderful advice to, I think, leave that on. Thanks so much for joining us this morning and for your ongoing hard work for the rights of Australia's employees.
Thanks for having me.